Hello and welcome to the first edition of the Wallingford and District Talking Newspaper for the new year 2026. We will be bringing you selected items from the Wallingford Herald for today, Wednesday the 7th of January, but we'll be including one or two items from last week's Herald, as well as some from other sources. Today's readers are Hugh, Amanda and Kay. The recorder and distributor is Helen, and this is David, your producer this week. Before we start, may I wish everyone a happy and healthy new year, but also remind you all of the message given by Keith on his recording on the 17th of December 2025. That was the last one before the break. As he said then, you will perhaps notice some changes as the year progresses, particularly those of you who receive the monthly magazine recordings. It is our intention to introduce and include selected items from the monthly magazine into our weekly recordings. However, this will mean some of you will hear repetitions of certain articles. I have included these monthly items from December after today's main weekly articles.
Hello, this is Hugh wishing you a happy new year for 2026. This first item is taken from the last week of 2025's Wallingford Herald. It's called No One Impressed at Plan for New Homes. A leading councillor for Wallingford said no one on the planning committee was impressed with plans for 9 new homes before it was approved. Chair of South Oxfordshire District Council and councillor for the Wallingford ward, Catherine Keats-Rowan, who also sits on the planning committee, has said the plan for 9 homes in Queen's Avenue was passed despite opposition from within the committee. In her most recent report to Wallingford Town Council last month, the district councillor described the difficulty the planning committee faces in rejecting applications they don't like due to the restrictive criteria of planning standards. The plan for 9 new homes at 10 Queen's Avenue faced significant opposition from neighbours who said the access, intrusion on their privacy and impact on their living standards would be severe. In her report, Ms. Keats-Rowan said, "We had a site visit 2 days before, and no one present believed the application was a good one." The application was the second one submitted to South Oxfordshire District Council for the Queen's Avenue site by Gareth Bertram Limited, which downscaled plans after the first application was rejected by the council and dismissed at appeal. It was dismissed based on the narrow criteria of the impact on future residents due to how close the proposed development was to approved plans for the houses to be built in the next stage of the Highcroft development. For the second application, Gareth Bertram Limited increased the gap by 1.4 metres, shortened the onlooking houses to chalet-style dwellings, and only proposed first-floor windows on the north and east sides of the buildings. Ms. Keats-Rowan said, "No one was impressed, but we were left in no doubt by officers that refusal was certain to be overturned at a subsequent appeal." The councillor who proposed acceptance of officer recommendations did so, saying that only neighbours could prevent the development, and he hoped that they would by withholding access rights. Objections were made at the planning committee meeting where the application was initially raised, when members decided to have a site visit before making a decision despite planning officers recommending it for approval. At the meeting, neighbour Craig Wright said the lane would become overdeveloped with the addition of 9 houses and raised concerns about how the developer will gain access rights given Queen's Avenue is a private road owned in sections by homeowners who live in it. Mr. Wright said at the meeting, "At least 3 of the dwellings overlook our property, impacting our privacy, which we've enjoyed for the previous 8 years. His objections joined the nearly 90 comments submitted on the application on the Council's planning portal, including from Wallingford Town Council.
Hello, this is Amanda wishing you a happy and healthy 2026. The first item is Beloved Pub set to close in the new year. This beloved pub is in the market town. A beloved pub is closing. The Coachmakers Arms in Wallingford is closing due to its tenancy agreement expiring on January the 6th. The pub is situated on St Mary's Street, which is also home to the Five Little Pigs and the Royal Pub. A spokesperson for the Coachmaker's Arms told this newspaper, "The Coachmaker's Arms will be closing in the new year solely because the existing five-year tenancy agreement expires on January the 6th. We have decided not to enter into a further five-year tenancy. There are no other contributing factors and no additional announcement to be made. We have enjoyed working with Breakspear over the past 5 years. It's described on its website as a traditional and friendly pub with rooms where you can enjoy the very best of British hospitality."
Hello, I'm Kay, and this next item is from the 2026, and as one pub closes, another reopens. And this is the Country Pub reopens with Ramsay Pupil as head chef. A country pub has reopened after a major refurbishment with a former pupil of Gordon Ramsay as head chef. The Checkers Inn in Berwick Salome near Wallingford closed earlier this year and came under new management in November. Reopening its doors to customers last month, the popular Watering Hole has seen a busy start to its new life following the renovations. A statement from the Checkers last month said, "We have just opened our doors this past weekend and couldn't be more grateful for the support we have already had in this new venture. John and the team from the Crown Inn in Benson are very pleased to now also operate the Checkers Inn. We have been busy in the last few weeks refurbishing the pub and getting ready for a very busy festive season. We hope you will come in to see what we have done and sample our new menu." A more recent update from the pub in December has confirmed that Gordon Ramsay's former protege, Danny Thomas, will take on the role of head chef. Having worked under the celebrity chef at Mayfair's The Maze Grill, Mr. Thomas then had a stint in Oxfordshire at Henley's The Greyhound under Anthony Worrell Thompson. A statement from the Checkers Inn this week said, "We're delighted to introduce Danny Thomas, the head chef here at the Checkers, Berwick Salome." Originally from Reading, Danny trained in professional culinary arts at Reading College before beginning his career at the Forbury Hotel, now the Roseate. He then moved to London, spending 2 years at the Maze Grill, Mayfair, under Gordon Ramsay. Closer to home, Danny went on to work at Anthony Worrell Thompson's The Greyhound in Henley-on-Thames, further refining his love of classic British flavours and seasonal cooking. Aged just 22, Danny took on the role of head chef at the Marriott Hotel in Bristol, where he led the kitchen for an impressive 10 years before heading to Oxfordshire to join us at the Checkers. Danny describes his cooking style as smart, elevated yet accessible, with short, thoughtfully crafted menus that showcase the very best seasonal and locally sourced produce. Expect modern British pub classics alongside more creative dishes, always including vegetarian options and daily fresh fish.
Fish issue has no link to Thames Water. An Oxfordshire fish catastrophe has no link to Thames Water, the Environment Agency has announced. Over 1,000 fish were found dead in a pond at Roke near Wallingford in November in what Windrush Against Sewage Pollution called a traumatic incident. Ash Smith of the campaign group said it was tragic for the local community and added, "I think they were all really fond of the fish and really cared for them." While this was happening nearby, work by Thames Water at a nearby sewage works hit a problem, according to a local drainage group, with several tankers subsequently deployed. There were suspicions that the two incidents were linked. However, the Environment Agency and Thames Water has ruled that out after investigations.
festive dress-up for fun for dogs and owners. A festive dress-up day at a dog field near Wallingford brought in the new year for the dog owner community in the area. UELM Dog Field has introduced social sessions for pooches in the area, with a festive dress-up session bringing together owners this season. The field was created by George Wallace on his family farm in October, offering private hire of a purpose-built, fully secure, 4-acre dog field. Mr. Wallace said the field was originally created for reactive dogs in mind, providing a calm and controlled environment where they can enjoy freedom without pressure. Since we opened, it's grown into much more, with visitors travelling from further afield to enjoy the peaceful countryside setting, beautiful views, and a welcoming place to spend quality time with their dogs. The field is available for 30 minutes or 1 hour sessions and offers agility obstacles, shelter, fresh water, and wide open space for dogs to exercise safely. Alongside private hire, Mr. Wallace offers gun dog training and will be hosting monthly social sessions to help build a community of dog owners. It was a pleasure to finally meet many of our regular visitors in person and to receive such positive feedback, he said, on their first social session last week. The festive atmosphere was enhanced by many of the dogs attending in fun outfits. UELM Dog Field is run by Mr. Wallace with support from his wife, Rosie, and offers a Paw Points loyalty scheme for regular visitors. This article is accompanied by a lovely photograph in festive costume with their dog.
This next item is from the MP Ollie Glover with his New Year message, but I have to say we have abbreviated it. It has been a busy year, both in Westminster, representing the interests of Didcot and Wantage constituency, and locally, where my small team and I have now closed more than 10,000 constituency cases. I regularly hold surgeries in Didcot, Wantage, or Wallingford. I visited many of our beautiful villages on my summer surgery tour, learnt about the Corner Men charity in North Moreton, providing mental health support within the setting of a boxing club and gym. I answered questions from children in our local schools, accompanied police officers on duty, met numerous small businesses, rode on a combine harvester, and learnt about work to inspire young people to protect our environment at the Earth Trust in Little Wittenham. I have brought local challenges and successes to the government's attention by holding debates and questioning ministers in the House of Commons and in the media. Examples include inviting a transport minister on a cycle training session at Wantage Primary Academy School, contributing to ITV Meridian coverage of Royal Mail and delivery company issues, and getting the Secretary of State for Health and Care to investigate why the Integrated Care Board still haven't provided for the new GP surgery we so desperately need at Didcot Great Western Park. I'm pleased to have made some progress on local issues. I'm grateful to Oxfordshire County Council for responding to my calls to take action to improve the road surface and flooding issues on the A417 at Mellor's Garage in West Challow. The immediate repairs seem to have helped, but more work is needed to address the flooding, and I will continue to monitor this area throughout the winter. In Didcot, I persuaded the new owners of the Orchard Centre to reverse the introduction of evening car parking charges. Top of January's constituency to-do list is responding to Thames Water's consultation on their huge and costly reservoir proposals, stepping up efforts to identify funding for a new railway station at Grove, continuing to coordinate agencies to tackle flooding hotspots, and continuing to push for the healthcare provision that we need. I welcome constituents getting in touch if they need help. You can contact me by email at ollie.glovermp@parliament.uk or by leaving a voicemail at 0207 219 7657.
This is the first item from the front page of the Herald Wallingford in the 2026 week of January the 7th. Nature group planning nut harvest for orchard. An environmental group has more plans to green Wallingford after success with a miniature garden on a street corner. Wild About Wallingford, a charity aiming to protect and enhance nature around the town, has already created a small garden on the site of a disused phone box, which had become a receptacle for beer bottles and food wrappers. Its new aspiration is a three-part project to develop the conservation area at Radnor Road, enhancing its newly created community orchard by putting in a dozen nut trees. Charity trustee and town councillor Mike Akerman spotted the patch of land at the corner of Synodon Road and Wantage Road, which had become a receptacle for beer bottles. Wild About Wallingford got permission to manage the corner of land on behalf of Oxfordshire County Council, and what started as a passion project for Mr. Akerman quickly developed into a community initiative. As soon as I started working on it, I got people coming out from the neighbouring houses asking if they could help, or even just offering me a cup of tea if they didn't have time to help out themselves, he said. The project involved cutting a piece of plywood into a rectangular trellis and painting it phone box red to mimic the original structure on the corner. Mr. Akerman said it sort of snowballed from there, because as soon as you start something like that, people start offering all sorts of additions. A bench was added and neighbours donated plants and gravel for a path and garden around it, and a new landmark was created for the people who live in the roads, who have shared lovely feedback with the project instigator. It became known as the Taco because of the semicircular shape of the garden. Even though it's a very small thing, it's amazing to think how small things like that can really matter to people, Mr. Akerman added. Whenever I go by, there's somebody sitting on the bench just taking 5 minutes and having a chat with somebody or looking at the plants that are there. Wild About Wallingford's next aspiration is a three-part project to develop the conservation area at Radnor Road. This time last year, a community orchard was installed on the patch of grass next to the road, which wasn't being used to its full potential. Now it's a vibrant fruit orchard, which is owned and managed by the people who use it themselves, and the environmental group wants to extend its offering to include a dozen nut trees. Mr. Akerman said, "We wanted to add another local resource to show people that you don't need to import nuts from abroad. It's all about food miles and reducing our carbon footprint." Alongside that, the group wants to create an inventory of the wildlife corridor which runs alongside the orchard to identify what condition the trees, vegetation and diversity are in and create a plan to enhance it. The third part of the proposed project is to partly reinstate the Millbrook Stream, which played an important role in Wallingford's history, feeding the moat and embankments and providing water for the old brewery and mill in the town. And there's a photograph alongside this piece showing the phone box and the taco site in the cellar.
Village sees biggest ever turnout for winter wassail. Villagers joined the biggest ever annual wassail to scare away Jack Frost and wake up the orchards after midwinter. The traditional event took place in Brightwell-cum-Sotwell near Wallingford on Saturday, the closest weekend to Twelfth Night, in a stunning display which rounded off the village's Christmas and New Year's celebrations. It included a mummer's play, singing and Morris dancing, fireworks, a parade round the orchards and loud shotguns being fired into the chilly sky to wake the trees up and frighten away old Jack Frost so that he doesn't ruin the fruit trees with freezes when they blossom in May and June. The historic tradition was revived more than 20 years ago in Brightwell to bring the community together, and Saturday's event was the biggest one we've ever had, according to the organisers, with more than 700 people attending. Jason Debney, who has organised the Brightwell Wassail every year for more than a decade, said, "Not only does it provide a wonderful celebration for the community, it also keeps our traditions alive and reminds us that we're a village. As Oxfordshire gets busier and busier, anything that keeps our rural and village traditions alive is important. Plus, it gives us a great finish to the community events over Christmas and New Year. Flags handed out to recognise the ancient parishes which make up Brightwell cum Sotwell, which encourages a bit of old parish rivalry. Two sides of Morris dancers attended the Wassail this year. The long-time attendees, Arma Legend Border Morris, and the newly formed Wallingford Morris, who Mr. Debney said were absolutely fabulous as the newcomers. Morris dancer Aidan Hassel added, "The Brightwell Wassail was the busiest ever. A crowd of around 400 people followed the Morris dancers and leaders of the Wassail. Wassails traditionally take place in the cider-producing villages in the south of England to wake up the trees, drive evil spirits away, and toast to the good health of the harvest." This piece is accompanied by several gorgeously coloured photographs of rather scary face-painted and hats of Morris dancers and their sticks that they dance with.
Car parking fees to go up by 5% in district this year. Car parking fees in South Oxfordshire will increase by 5% this spring, the district council has decided. Drivers are being asked whether they would prefer to pay on arrival rather than using paper tickets through Pay and Display. South Oxfordshire District Council's Cabinet approved several changes to its council-run car parks in a December meeting. The council's report found that the council would go into deficit by £122,105 in 2028-29 if they do not make changes to parking fees. Councillor Sue Cooper proposed a 5% increase rather than a 10 or 15% increase. She said this was roughly in line with inflation and appropriate given the cost of living crisis. Councillor Georgina Heritage added, "I fully endorse encouraging more active travel and public transport, but I'm just highly conscious of how rural parts of our districts are. Many rural residents have no choice but to use a car. Whilst encouraging other methods of transport, we need to keep that affordable and encourage people to get to the shops and park for a reasonable cost. The changes mean the cost of parking for 2 hours will be £2.30, and 3 hours, £3.50, and 5 hours up to £5.30. The increase will come into effect in April and is expected to raise an extra £50,000 per year for the council. Other changes will require a public consultation before they can be introduced. Householders will be consulted on changing Southern Road car park in Tame from short stay to long stay and on bringing long stay car parks in Castle Street and St George's in Wallingford in line with other car parks in the town. These changes could be implemented in July. Introducing charging on arrival rather than pay and display would save the council £8,000. The council ruled out getting rid of free parking for the first hour of using the car park or extending the charging period from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Councillor Tony Worgan said, "I know from my conversations with Didcot businesses how delicately balanced their finances are. Anything that potentially puts our town centres at risk should be resisted." It also ruled out introducing a fee in non-charging car parks in Cullum, Benson, Chinner and Wheatley, but officers will write to the parish council asking them what they think of introducing a fee in the future. Half-price permits for electric vehicles will also remain.
MBs for World Champion Rower and GB Rowing Head. A World Champion Rower and GB Rowing Team's Director of Performance have been awarded MBEs. Paralympic and World Champion Frankie Allen has been awarded an MBE for services to disability sport and to improving access to sport for young people. The Wallingford resident made her para rowing debut in 2021 and has established herself in the PR3 Mixed Cox 4, where she's helped the boat maintain its 15-year unbeaten record. A working physiotherapist, Miss Allen is active in encouraging more young people into sport. She said, "This means so much to me and I'm grateful to my family, friends and teammates who've supported me since my first day out on the water." Speaking about her selection for the Paralympics in 2024, she said, "This is a dream come true. We have done so much hard work to get to this point and I want to make the most of all the experiences from now until the Games. The pressure of the unbeaten legacy in this boat is a privilege that I'm hugely proud to be a part of." Louise Kingsley, Director of Performance for the GB Rowing Team, has also been awarded an MBE for her outstanding achievement in the sport and her service to the community. Miss Kingsley, who is also from Wallingford, became GB Rowing Team Director of Performance in December 2021 after spending more than 20 years in the sport, initially as a successful coach and then running the governing body's performance pathway and Paralympic programme. A lifelong sportswoman, an accomplished archer, Louise is also a non-executive director at British Shooting. Under Miss Kingsley's stewardship at the Paris 2024 Olympic Games, the GB rowing team achieved its most successful overseas Olympic Games and its most successful ever by number of medalists, with 36 out of 42 athletes coming home with a medal. Great Britain also topped the rowing medal table at the 2024 Paralympic Games, with 3 gold and 1 silver medal, making it our best ever Paralympic Games. She said, "I feel incredibly honoured to have been awarded an MBE. It was a total surprise to get the letter, and I'm not sure that it's sunk in yet. I'm very lucky to do a job that I love and be surrounded by so many talented people who turn up day in, day out to help our athletes deliver the best performances they can on the global stage. We came home from Paris 2024 having set new standards and broken records for our performances, and we are now fully focused on how we can build on this as we look ahead to LA 2028. And there's a photograph of Louise Kingsley and Frankie Allen looking resplendent in their rowing gears.
This is a charity shop's appeal for unwanted gifts. From clothing that isn't your style to unused gadgets destined for the back of a cupboard, a charity is encouraging people to donate unwanted Christmas presents to help support its work. Sue Ryder said gifts that would otherwise end up gathering dust could be turned into vital funds to support palliative care, end-of-life services, and bereavement support. Karen Rogers, retail regional manager at Sue Ryder, said, "Many of us receive gifts at Christmas that we won't use. By donating them to Sue Ryder, you'll be helping people receive palliative and end-of-life care and bereavement support, so no one faces death or grief alone, while also reducing waste and starting the new year with a clearer home. We'd be grateful to receive any unwanted Christmas gifts or donations from a general clear out, including any quality clothing, accessories, homewares, electricals, books, and children's toys. The charity runs almost 400 shops across the UK, raising funds to support its care services in hospices and people's homes. Donations can be dropped off at any Sue Ryder store, and larger items such as furniture can be collected for free by arranging through the charity's website. The charity said every donation helps raise money to continue its essential work. People can find their nearest shop or learn more about what to donate by visiting sueryder.org/shop.
Laser beam used to light night sky for anniversary. A pillar of light illuminated the sky in Oxfordshire as part of a leading science park's birthday celebration. The UK's most powerful display laser projection, known as The Beam, shone from the Harwell Science and Innovation Campus near Didcot on New Year's Day to mark its 80th anniversary. A vertical column of light was projected into the night sky. Jim Stretton, Managing Director of Harwell Campus, said, "Harwell Campus has a remarkable heritage where generations of scientists have pushed boundaries, challenged conventions, and shaped the technologies that define our world today. As we celebrated 80 years of discovery, the strength of the public-private partnership that underpins the campus was central to its continued success and evolution. The Beam honoured Harwell's past scientific breakthroughs while signalling the next era of growth and innovation. Our ongoing investment in world-leading research facilities, from next-generation lasers to advanced imaging, ensures Harwell Campus remains at the forefront of global discovery. The Beam was produced using the UK's most powerful display laser, operated by Horizon Lasers, and emerged from the centre of the iconic diamond light source. It served as a tribute to Harwell's long-standing expertise in light-based science and innovation. Professor Gianluigi Botton, Chief Executive Officer at Diamond Light Source, said, "At Diamond, we harness the power of synchrotron light to reveal the structure of everything from viruses and vaccines to new materials and advanced technologies." The Beam marked 80 years of discovery and reflected the campus's ongoing commitment to collaboration, innovation, and using light to transform the way we understand the world. We were delighted to play our part on New Year's Day in marking this momentous occasion. The Central Laser Facility, CLF, one of 15 national facilities on the campus, is currently upgrading its flagship Vulcan laser as part of the Vulcan 2020 programme.
Violent man arrested. A violent Oxfordshire man has been arrested after an alleged assault on the River Thames. Thames Valley Police said on Friday that one of its units had taken a male into custody after an incident near South Stoke, close to Wallingford. A spokesperson for the Rural Crime Task Force said officers from the Rural Crime Task Force have dealt with two incidents on the River Thames. Initially, they assisted their colleagues from response with the arrest of a violent male who had assaulted someone on a boat near South Stoke. Furthermore, the unit then attended reports of an attempted theft near Abingdon, although that has not yet led to an arrest.
Now we have funding for town's new health centre may be lost. A contribution from housing developers could be lost if Didcot's new health centre is not built in the near future, a county councillor has revealed. Great Western Park, a 3,300-home estate, is due to be finished in 2026. and was initially granted planning permission in 2008, with a new GP surgery included. Planning consent for the site has already been secured, but there have been constant delays. Last month, it emerged that negotiations with a developer had collapsed more than a decade after work had been due to start. Didcot County Councillor Ian Snowden then launched a petition calling for urgent action, and it has now received more than 1,800 signatures online. Now he has pointed out that if the health centre is not built by a certain date, a developer contribution of about £790,000 from housebuilder Taylor Wimpey would be lost. He added, there's a legal agreement between Taylor Wimpey and Vale of Whitehorse District Council that if the council has not granted a lease of the healthcare site to a person that has the intention of providing healthcare facilities by October 2027, then the funds will have to be returned to Taylor Wimpey. It looks like the council will have to get another deed drawn up to backdate this agreement. Otherwise, the funding, which will go towards the construction of the new health centre, could be lost. The whole town needs proper progress on this in 2026. Didcot is lacking in healthcare facilities, while thousands of new homes are being built. There's no reason why it shouldn't have a minor injuries unit as well. Responding to those who signed the petition, Mr. Snowden thanked everyone who has signed and shared. This incredible response shows just how strongly our community feels about the urgent need for a new GP surgery, he wrote. For over a decade, residents have been promised the health infrastructure to match Didcot and Oxfordshire's growth. The land is there, the funding was there, planning permission is there, and yet still no surgery. This petition is about patients, families, and access to local healthcare. The message is clear. We need action, not more delays. The petition has been submitted to the County Council Health Overview and Scrutiny Committee, the Buckinghamshire, Oxfordshire and Berkshire West Integrated Care Board, BOBICB, the Secretary of State for Health and other bodies responsible for health infrastructure delivery. The petition calls for a binding timetable and delivery commitment from the ICB and urgent interim GP capacity measures, such as temporary clinical space, additional staff, or expanded appointment capacity. Didcot and Wantage MP Ollie Glover has urged Health Secretary Wes Streeting to unblock the new surgery. Valley Park in the town is now under construction, adding another 4,000 homes. And we have a photograph of the Didcot West County Councillor, Ian Snowden.
Railway Centre welcomes in New Year. Didcot Railway Centre visitors and volunteers welcomed in 2026 with steam trains dressed up for the occasion. The steam locomotives at the Heritage Railway Centre next to Didcot Parkway Station were given a Y26 head code on New Year's Day to welcome in 2026. Among the volunteers welcoming visitors were guard Mike Molyneux, driver Stephen Tomsett, and firewoman Laura Donaldson. The festive period has been a busy time for the centre, with hundreds of people turning up for rides on the steam trains. There were steam train days at the Heritage Centre in the run-up to Christmas, with a volunteer dressed as Santa handing out presents to youngsters. The centre hosted a trail to find Santa's missing reindeer. Children picked up gifts during the reindeer trail and then chose a present after they met Santa and his elves at the centre's grotto. Volunteers put up decorative garlands in front of the Victorian town clock, guarded by a nutcracker soldier, and at other locations on site. The Great Western Society began using the site in 1967, and the first open day was held in 1969. And we have a photo. In fact, there are four steam engines, three actually steaming, two of which have got Y26 on them, and several visitors.
Household bills rise amid cold snap. Household energy bills have risen as warnings are issued for the cold weather. The 0.2% increase in Ofgem's energy price cap equates to a rise of about 28p a month for the average household in England, remaining on a standard variable tariff. This amounts to an average overall bill of £1,758 a year, up from the current £1,755. Chancellor Rachel Reeves said £150 would be cut from the average household bill from April by scrapping the energy company obligation scheme introduced by the Tories in government. Regulator Ofgem said last Thursday's increase in the cap, which was announced in November, was being driven by the funding of nuclear power projects and discounts to some households' winter bills. The price cap increase came just as a yellow warning for snow and ice was issued for Oxfordshire. Temperatures dropped to -3 centigrade in Oxford and down to -5 degrees centigrade in rural parts of the county, where it has felt like -8 degrees centigrade. Simon Francis, coordinator of the End Fuel Poverty Coalition, said it really is a case of every little doesn't help, as households spend a fifth winter in the energy bills crisis. Tiny movements in the price cap still hit hard for families choosing between heating and eating. People continue to live in cold, damp homes where the risks go beyond discomfort and into real danger, including exposure to carbon monoxide.
This short item describes the increase in police tackling antisocial issues. Police in South Oxfordshire have revealed there was a huge increase in the force's use of antisocial behaviour powers in 2025. The neighbourhood policing team for Wantage and Grove released a New Year's message to the community and revealed some of its top statistics. Describing it as an incredibly busy year, the neighbourhood policing team said they had tackled a wide range of issues, including antisocial behaviour. The use of policing powers aiming to reduce the petty crime, which can include vandalism, loitering, graffiti, causing a public nuisance and more, increased by 350% last year. A statement from Thames Valley Police said, over the past year we tackled a wide range of issues, including the Bill and Ben flowerpot theft series, secured multiple closure orders, launched a new mentoring scheme, carried out more vehicle seizures than we care to imagine, and seen a 350% increase in ASB powers used to keep our communities safe. We also took our Have Your Say roadshow to every village across our patch and built our policing priorities directly from what you told us through our community survey. Your voices truly shape the work we do.
RSPCA advice on keeping animals safe in cold snap. The RSPCA has shared advice on how to keep animals safe during the cold snap. Low temperatures and icy conditions can present additional challenges for animals, particularly those that are outdoors or in exposed areas. The call comes as the charity's Big Give Back to Animals continues to raise awareness for how the public can support its frontline officers. RSPCA Superintendent Simon Osborne said, "Cold weather can be challenging for animals, especially those that are outside. A few simple steps like giving pets extra bedding, preventing water from freezing, or leaving extra food for birds can make a big difference. Small actions like these will help keep our pets, livestock and wildlife safe, warm and comfortable during the colder days ahead." The RSPCA has shared the following winter care tips. Keep a close eye on outdoor pets such as rabbits and guinea pigs. The RSPCA advises bringing them indoors when temperatures drop below 15 degrees centigrade, 59 degrees Fahrenheit. If pets remain outside, provide plenty of extra bedding and ensure hatches are protected with insulated and ventilated covers. Secondly, ensure cats have constant access to warm indoor areas, whether that's the house or a suitable outbuilding or barn. Thirdly, if your pets get wet or cold, dry and warm them using a towel and provide additional bedding where needed. Some dogs may benefit from a coat during cold walks.
Every change is driver after parcel chaos. Delivery service Every has hired a replacement driver after parcel chaos on a housing estate. Following the reported resignation of a delivery driver in Grove, the parcel delivery company said that they have a new courier in place. This came after residents of the Wellington Gate community reported their Every deliveries had gone missing, been thrown into gardens without care, and been delivered to the wrong addresses. This newspaper saw multiple reports of householders being left feeling frustrated by their missing parcels in the run-up to Christmas Day. One woman, who wished to remain anonymous, said hundreds of parcels had gone missing on the new build estate and that she had complained to the company about it. She said, "It's appalling. I have never seen anything like it." According to the customer, some people have contacted Didcot and Wantage MP Ollie Glover about the situation. Another anonymous householder complained that not only had parcels been dropped at their doorstep without the doorbell being rung, but that only one of them was his. Following the complaints, it is understood the delivery driver for the estate resigned. Reportedly, family members helped him to deliver parcels after his car broke down, delaying deliveries and meaning he had to work into the night. A spokesperson for the parcel delivery company said, "It is the busiest time of year for parcel deliveries and that they are delivering 4 million daily. They said every parcel matters to us and we're disappointed when a courier fails to care for a parcel as if it were their own. The vast majority of our 34,000 couriers are hard-working members of the local community and they take pride in their work." The company apologised for local disruption and added, "We have a new courier in place in the area and we've already seen lots of positive feedback from customers." The Grove Estate is not the only place in Oxfordshire that has been experiencing problems with their parcel deliveries, with a number of complaints about services. In Abingdon, residents said that the company claimed it had delivered parcels when they hadn't, and doorbell footage in Whitney showed parcels being tossed with little care onto doorsteps. In addition, the Salisbury Journal has reported an Every courier has been sacked after a large number of parcels went undelivered. Tish Burbridge, a pensioner, said she has had up to 7 parcels go missing, and she says it's extraordinarily annoying. In response to that incident, Every said a third-party contractor was supporting with deliveries in this area, but they didn't meet our standards, and so they will no longer be delivering on behalf of Every.
This next item is about changes to household waste. So from the 14th of January, you're going to have to book a visit to a household waste recycling centre. So for us, it would be Oakley Wood. So warning, from the 14th of January 2026, you must book in advance before visiting a household waste recycling centre. Book before you visit. You must book a slot online before visiting a household waste recycling centre from the 14th of January 2026. Bookings are available up to 2 weeks in advance or 30 minutes prior, subject to availability. Booking is easy. 1. Choose a household waste recycling centre. 2. Enter the type of waste you are bringing. 3. Choose a date and time. 4. Enter your details. We will then send you a confirmation email with all the necessary details. The email will explain what to do if you have any chargeable waste and your weekly free allowance. Booking help. If you are unable to book online, you can book by calling our customer service centre, which is open Monday to Friday, but I'm afraid they omitted to give us a telephone number. When you visit, on the day of your visit, please bring proof of address, such as a driving licence, a recent utility bill, or a recent council tax bill. This is to show you are an Oxfordshire resident and are eligible to access our sites for free. Sorting your recycling. Separate all the recyclable items from your waste. This will make your visit quicker and easier. Use our waste wizard tool if you're unsure what can be recycled. We will have sorting areas available on site if you are unable to sort your recycling before your visit. Sorting items for recycling helps to reduce the amount of waste we send for incineration or to landfill, which is better for the environment and cheaper. Non-Oxfordshire residents. If you are not an Oxfordshire resident, you will need to pay £15 per visit to use one of our household waste and recycling centres. Payment will be taken upon arrival and an additional charge will be applied for all DIY waste. Our sites accept contactless payments, including Apple Pay and Samsung Pay. Here's where to drop off your Christmas tree. Householders in the Vale of Whitehorse being invited to recycle their Christmas trees. Residents in the Vale of Whitehorse can make use of two collection points, with Charlton Park in Wantage and Millet's Farm in Frilford taking in trees until January the 10th. Parishes in the area are also taking part, and a full list of the drop-off points, as well as information on the garden waste collection services, can be found at whitehorsedc.gov.uk. In the South Oxfordshire area, trees can be dropped off at several garden centres until January the 10th. Participating centres include Knockcuts in Newnham Courtney, Toad Hall in Fawley, Wallingford's Route 1, the Tree Barn in Watlington, and Waterbury Gardens. Trees can also be left at designated sites in local parishes. Chinners White's Field Car Park will accept trees until January the 10th, while trees can be left in the Goring Heath Parish Hall Car Park in Whitchurch Hill and Goring's Gardener Recreation Ground and Rectory Gardens until January the 8th. Trees can be left in the Long Whittenham Grass Verge near Bodkins Field until January the 9th. There will also be Christmas tree drop-off points in Brightwell Baldwin, Ewell, Great Milton, Garsington, Stanton St John, Tetsworth, Towsey, Watlington and Witham. All trees collected will be sent to be composted and then sold to local farmers.
Teacher treated like a terrorist for Trump video. An Oxfordshire teacher was reportedly referred to a government counter-terrorism programme after showing videos of Donald Trump to his US politics class. The teacher, in his 50s, said he was likened to a terrorist after he showed the videos, one including Mr. Trump's inauguration to A-level students, according to The Telegraph. Henley College, a sixth form in Henley-on-Thames with more than 2,000 students, reported the teacher to the local child safeguarding authority. The local authority then decided that he should be referred further to prevent the government's counter-terrorism programme as a priority. The teacher, who does not wish to be identified, told The Telegraph, "They likened me to a terrorist. It was completely jarring. It's dystopian, like something from a George Orwell novel." Showing the videos was suggested as amounting to a hate crime in one document seen by The Telegraph. The politics lecturer was accused of causing his students, aged 17 and 18, emotional harm. The teacher reportedly launched a grievance procedure against the college, but was still effectively forced to resign his £44,000 a year post. Henley College told the Telegraph The Henley College does not comment on individual allegations or ongoing investigations.
Plans backed for Thames Valley Mayor. A group of councils is seeking to introduce a mayoral authority across the Thames Valley. An expression of interest letter has been submitted to the government after being agreed upon by the 13 councils in the region. The letter details ambitions for a new combined authority, the Mayoral Strategic Authority, MSA, which would be led by a directly elected mayor. The proposed authority would be comprised of various councils with the intent of securing new powers and funding for the area. If the government accepts the expression of interest, the MSA would allow local councils to plan and deliver more integrated and effective transport, infrastructure and housing, with an emphasis on social housing, according to West Oxfordshire District Council. The aim is to foster conditions for accelerated inclusive growth throughout the region. Council discussions on the proposal took place throughout November and December. The expression of interest was signed by Councillor Mary Temperton, leader of Bracknell Forest Council and chair of Berkshire Prosperity Board, and Councillor Liz Leffman, leader of Oxfordshire County Council. Councillor Temperton said, "Signing the expression of interest is an important step forward in our local devolution journey. We hope that this will provide a compelling case to government for sustained investment in the region. I'm looking forward to continuing the productive discussions that have been taking place and developing our plans with government." She said she hoped that the MSA would help to boost the local economy and improve critical services for residents. Councillor Liz Leffman, leader of Oxfordshire County Council, said, "We have a once-in-a-generation chance to seize the opportunity that devolution offers. By coming together as a strategic authority, our councils can better coordinate resources and expertise to deliver the support our residents need. Our collaboration will support innovative businesses, expanding access to skills training, affordable homes and a modern joined-up transport network, ensuring everyone's benefits from new opportunities and an improved quality of life. A Thames Valley MSA will harness the collective strengths of the region to unlock unparalleled prospects for inclusive and sustainable growth. It provides a unique opportunity to shape our urban and rural places, ensuring lasting benefits for current and future generations. The Thames Valley MSA's vision is to speed up delivery, draw investment, and strengthen what the council say is one of the UK's most productive and innovative regional economies. Sorry. And there's a photo of Liz Leffman, the Oxfordshire County Councillor.
We now come to the family announcements, and this week for us there's just one. And it's for Eric Buckingham, who passed away on the 18th of December, aged 88. He will be sadly missed by his son Derek, daughter Carolyn, and grandchildren Sophie, Holly, Jesse, and great-grandchildren River and Violet. The funeral service will be held at South Oxfordshire Crematorium, Garford, on Monday the 19th of January at 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Dementia UK, Co Chadwick's Funeral Service, 33 Benson Lane, Cromarsh, Gifford, OX10 8ED, or made online via ericbuckingham.muchloved.com.
Most spring wildfires on record reported in 2025. The most spring wildfires since records began were recorded in Oxfordshire last year, new data has shown. Between March and May 2025, Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue Service responded to 104 wildfires, the highest figure for the same period since records are available from 2011. The figures are based on data obtained by the Press Association through Freedom of Information requests. Of the 43 mainland fire services in England, 35 provided full monthly data. In all instances, the figures are for fires assigned the category grassland, woodland and crops. For the spring period, March to May in Oxfordshire, recorded responses were up from 71 in 2022 to 30 in 2023 and 20 in 2024. The figure also rose from the summer period on the two preceding years, with 164 wildfire responses between June and August 2025, compared to 78 the year before and 65 in 2023. In summer 2022, the Fire Service recorded 217 responses to incidents in this category. Across England, fire services tackled nearly 27,000 grassland, woodland and crop fires in what was the UK's warmest spring and summer on record. Several services dealt with their highest number of incidents for the spring period since comparable data began, like Oxfordshire, as prolonged dry weather led to several areas of drought being declared. At least 12,450 wildfires were recorded by fire services in England during spring last year, according to the data, more than four times the figure for 2024, which was 2,621. A further 14,448 of these types of fires were recorded in June to August, one of the highest summer totals in recent years, though not as many as in 2022, which was 20,858, when a spell of very hot weather pushed temperatures in the UK above 40 degrees centigrade for the first time. This year didn't see quite such an intense heat, with a peak of 35.8 degrees centigrade measured on July the 1st in Faversham. But both spring and summer 2025 were the UK's warmest on record based on Met Office mean temperature data. Spring was also the driest in the UK for more than 100 years, and it was the combination of dry soils, little or no rain, and above average heat that sparked so many wildfires across the country. And there's an illustration of spring wildfires in the accompanying photograph.
Sue Ryder boost to care services. A major expansion of palliative care services has been launched. Sue Ryder is launching major new NHS commissioned palliative and end-of-life care services as part of a 10-year partnership with the NHS across the West and South Oxfordshire, to offer more specialist support for people with complex, life-limiting conditions. Louise Lucio, Regional Director for Sue Ryder South East, said, "This is about making sure people in our local communities can get specialist care at the right time and in the right place. The scheme will bring together Sue Ryder services to provide a wider range of care options. These include support at home, in the community, and in hospice or community hospital settings. New elements of the service include a 24/7 clinical advice line, a hospice at home programme for Berkshire West, coordinated care throughout a single point of access, and expanded bereavement and wellbeing support." Ms. Lucio said, "Sue Ryder's new look services will help people remain at home where possible, supporting earlier discharge from hospital and reducing hospital admissions by providing timely, tailored support for families."
RSPCA launches a series of challenges for 2026. Animal lovers are being encouraged to take on a challenge and raise funds for a good cause. The RSPCA has launched a series of fundraising events across Oxfordshire and Gloucestershire for 2026, giving supporters the chance to raise money while taking on physical challenges. Options include hikes, runs, cycling events, and more, while those who prefer something more creative can take part in bake sales or online streaming events. Abby Mustard, Events Manager at the RSPCA, said, "If you're looking for an exciting challenge to set yourself for the new year to tackle during 2026, look no further. We have so many opportunities across the Oxfordshire and Gloucestershire area for animal lovers to find a challenge to suit them, from running or trekking or something more adrenaline pumped like a bungee jump. It's the perfect time to set yourself a challenge for 2026 and do something amazing for animals at the same time. Our amazing fundraisers do vital work supporting us in rescuing, rehabilitating and rehoming or releasing thousands of animals every year. By raising money for the RSPCA, you'll join animal lovers from across the region and the whole country determined to stop animal cruelty and neglect. Events planned for 2026 include the Cotswold Way Challenge on June the 13th and 14th, the Chiltern 50 Challenge on September the 26th.
And now for our What's On items. Unfortunately, at the beginning of the year, we do not appear to have too many to report. However, the first is the reminder for the regular My Vision, Join Our Wallingford social group. The group meet at Wallingford Library from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. next on the 19th of January this year. This is a perfect opportunity to meet other visually impaired people, have some great conversations and enjoy some hot drinks and snacks. My Vision look forward to meeting you there. If you have any questions or concern, please contact them at info@myvision.org.uk or telephone 01865 725 595. Because of the run of the pantomime, Corn Exchange Films do not return until February, when on the 1st and 2nd they will be showing the film Hamnet. This is a poignant adaptation of Maggie O'Farrell's 2020 novel concerning the events following the loss to plague of Agnes and William Shakespeare's son Hamnet. This will be followed by the screening of the film Coral on the 3rd of February. This is a gentle comedy drama written by Alan Bennett, set in 1916 amid war and loss, where a Yorkshire village finds hope and defiance in music under a mysterious choir master played by Ralph Fiennes. Details again can be found on the Corn Exchange website or by emailing info@cornexchange.org.uk or telephoning 01491 825000.
I'm back with the bridge, and this article is titled Rare Birds to Benefit from Nature Reserve Extension, but it does make clear it's an extract from an article written by Miranda Norris in the Oxford Times in mid-November. The RSPB's Otmore Nature Reserve is to be extended. This initiative is part of a collaboration between Charwell District Council and the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds, RSPB, to establish the district's second habitat bank. The 21-hectare site will be managed by the RSPB and will provide a sanctuary for rare and at-risk wading birds such as lapwing, redshank, curlew and snipe. It will also boost the presence of ecological valuable plant and invertebrate species. Councillor Jean Conway, portfolio holder for Planning and Development Management, said, "Otmore is a real treasure when it comes to wetland habitats and sustaining populations of some of the UK's most beautiful wader species. With their unrivalled knowledge and years of experience at Otmore, the RSPB are the perfect partner to help us bring forward this new habitat bank. The initiative is part of the Council's response to new legislation governing biodiversity net gain, requiring developers to fund nature restoration." James Robinson, the RSPB's Chief Operating Officer, said, "We're delighted to be launching our first biodiversity net gain site at RSPB Otmore, a haven for wildlife in the heart of Oxfordshire. Otmore is one of the largest inland wetlands in the country, providing a crucial habitat for a variety of important species, such as lapwings, redshanks and curlews. Work is underway to convert the former agricultural site into a floodplain grazing marsh, a habitat identified by the government as a priority for wildlife conservation. Wetlands features, known as scrapes and foot drains, will be created in parts of the bank, while other areas will be reseeded using seeds from the adjacent Otmore site of special scientific interests. Habitat banks allow large-scale nature restoration, joining up ecosystems and making them more resilient. This is from the Benson Bulletin, and it's Benson's Lost Inns and Pubs. The Castle Inn. The Castle Inn was an important coaching inn until railways came to the area in 1840. It was called the King's Arms until about 1770. The exterior of the Castle Inn is 18th century, but it incorporates earlier structures. The inn sign probably relates to Offa's Castle, the name given by earlier antiquarians to the ancient earthworks, which once used to be visible between the church and the river. During the 18th century, an impressive extension with a circular frontage was added to provide accommodation for travellers. It is thought that curved walls may have made it easier for horses to get to the stables at the back of the inn. The inn operated as a tea room in the days when touring and motor coaches first became popular. Later, it was a favourite pub for the RAF aircrew in the Second World War. In 1986, the pub was converted to two houses. And there is more information on the Benson History website.
I thought we should include a small poem relevant to the new year. And this is a poem called Promise by a lady, Jackie Kay, and is taken from a book, A Poem for Every Day of the Year. Remember the time of year when the future appears like a blank sheet of paper, a clean calendar, a new chance. On thick white snow you vow fresh footprints, then watch them go with the wind's hearty gust. Fill your glass. Here's to us. Promises made to be broken, made to last. That concludes this week's recording of the Wallingford and District Talking Newspaper. So with added thanks to Kate, who read the included monthly items from The Bridge and the Benson Bulletin, we would all like to wish you well until next week. Please be careful in these cold and icy conditions. Saying that, from all of us here, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.